Testing 1, 2, 3. Okay, good afternoon, everyone. All right, happy 30th anniversary to Gakuin. Kitaki. Hallelujah. Yeah, I just said my school's name by mistake. But I praise God for what He's done in me through this church. Without this church, I'm not here. That is for sure. So, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I want to welcome Normina to our family. And welcome. Yeah. Coming from Kochi. I've been to Kochi. It's such a beautiful place. I don't know why you would leave to come here. But it must be the Lord who's brought you. So, welcome to our church. All right. Please open your Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 6. And we will pick up from verse 19 through 24. Our subject is His light, heart, and treasure. And I'll go ahead and begin from verse 19. Please join me from verse 22. So I'll read 19, 20, 21, and come with me from verse 22. Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's read together. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The very words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I'm so happy that we can study and look at this scripture today because it's a privilege to preach the gospel. I love this scripture because in here we have the gospel. If you are not yet a Christian, you need to hear the gospel. And if you are already a Christian, you must hear the gospel. It is the gospel that we often forget. The reason why we struggle or have so much difficulty or we complain about our life is because we forget the gospel. And so here we have the gospel laid out. Let me go back here. We have the privilege of hosting someone for the next week or couple of weeks. They're a missionary and they're coming to Hiroshima to move and they're looking for a new place. And so while they're looking for a new apartment, we're going to host them. And so this whole week, we've been preparing. My wife has been rearranging one of our rooms, closets, shelves, boxes, and moving them from one place to the other. Lots of rearranging. Yesterday, I spent the morning cleaning the shower room. Yeah, I think I had the harder job. And it's not just a little scrub here and a little wipe there. It was the deep cleaning, the kabikira. I had to take that out, the kabikira. Yes and amen. I had to spray that. You know it's a good cleaner when you start feeling dizzy from the fumes. Yeah, I was feeling it yesterday. But it was a deep scrubbing, you know. For a couple of hours, yeah. And yeah, we have 8 people in our house, so it's pretty dirty. That's what the gospel does. The gospel is not God coming and just rearranging a few things in your life. Actually, he's going to tear the house down in order to rebuild you a new house. And the gospel is not just wiping some of the things that you don't like about yourselves. He's going to come in with the deep cleaning, the kabi killer in your heart. Yeah, that's what the gospel does, and that's what Jesus Christ is doing. And so how do we see that here? Jesus is talking about your treasure, your heart, the most important thing in your life. That's the gospel. And so you'll notice in that middle section from verse 22 to 23, he kind of shifts a little bit of the topic. You know, from verse 19 through 21, he's talking about storing up treasures on earth versus heaven, right? So he's talking about your money. And then at the end, he's talking about you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. And so, oh, okay, Jesus, I see. This is about money. This is about my wallet. This is about my treasure. But in the middle section, he's talking about light and darkness, and the eyes are the window of your body or the lamp of your body. What are we talking about here, Jesus? Oh, it's so good. So, very simply, the eye is the way that you know and are aware about your surroundings. So, if I have bad eyes and I try to walk around this room, I'll fall off the stage. I'll hit the pews. I'll bump into the wall because my eyes are dark. My eyes are unhealthy, right? But if my eyes are healthy and the light from the outside can come, then I can walk around with no problem and without injury. And so because my eyes are healthy, my body will be light. And I'll be free to move. Jesus says, when it comes to money, if you are not aware of the power that money, wealth, and status can have on you, you will be walking around in darkness. What do I mean? What does he mean? All right, let's shift the topic for a minute. I'm going to move this here. So, this is the worst thing when you meet somebody and they're just so proud, right? Have you ever met someone so full of themselves, talking about themselves, you know, lifting themselves up? And what's the worst thing about it? They don't know how arrogant they are, right? And you're not going to tell them. You're thinking in the back of your mind, get over yourself. You're not that important. Who do you think you are? Nobody says that out loud, but you're saying it. And the problem is with that person, and I know I'm not talking about anybody here, right? We're all humble, righteous, holy people of the Lord. Yeah. But someone you know. But anyways, that person, you know, they just don't know how proud. That's the problem of pride. It's blind to the person who is proud, right? Now, if you can't say amen, that probably means it's you, right? And so, pride is the mother of all sin. Because when a person who is proud doesn't know that they're being so arrogant, they're blind to it. It takes health crisis, money problems, relationship disaster. It takes, you know, weather or catastrophe to break down their pride, right? Yeah. Life, basically. Jesus is saying here, in the same way that we are blind to our own pride, we can be blind to the power that money has over us. That's why he's talking about light and darkness in the middle of a section he's talking about money. Because here's what we do. We'll go on Amazon. We'll log on to Rakuten. We'll go into the mall and we'll say, I really need this. It's kind of expensive, and usually I don't go for things like this. I think I need this. I don't know. It's, you know, I need this pillow. It's 17,000 yen. I know it, you know. But my neck and my back, I need a good night's sleep. It's a pillow. Do I need that? Right? I have 10 shirts, but this one, I need this, right? And so we tell ourselves this because we're blind, if we're not careful, if we're not aware, right? That's what Jesus is saying. Take a look at your wallet. Be honest about your bank account. Yes. But open your eyes. Because if the light within you is dark, how great is that darkness? How really blind you are. You think you are poor, but you're actually rich. You are living in Japan. You are in 1%. The top 1% of all the wealth in the world, just by living here. But you say, oh, I don't live in that big new house. I don't live on the mansion. I don't have a car. I don't have this salary. You live here. So you're comparing. So that's another way that we're blind to the power of wealth and money over us, the power that it has over us. Because we're comparing. We're not looking at the poor around us. We're looking at the rich around us. And we think, oh, I'm not that rich. So that's the point number one. Be aware of your spiritual eyes. Be aware of the darkness, the power that money has over you. It's interesting. I thought this was original to Jesus, but Jesus is just talking like a sage. A wise man. Look what it says in the Proverbs. I just read this week, Proverbs 15. Light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. So Jesus is giving us a proverb about our wealth. The original proverb in Proverbs 15 is just about how your health is related to your heart, your emotional health. But then Jesus takes that proverb and he applies it to our money health, our economic health. So, he's talking about eyes, light, darkness, and blindness. Be aware of your blind spots. Just like a proud and arrogant person needs to become aware of his own haughtiness. We need to be aware of the power of money over our lives because money is a great servant, but it is a terrible master. You become what you worship. That's the whole message of the Bible. You become what you adore, what you idolize, what you desire. You become that. And if you desire anything other than the living God, whether it's the physical temptations, the material temptations, the temptations of status and power and position, you become a tyrant. But if your desire is for God Himself, if you want the giver, not his gifts, then Jesus is telling you, you're on the right way. So, we're talking about hearts, treasure, spending, sacrifice, and freedom. So the first section there. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy. So a bit of the word study, I want to do some expository here. It's interesting here. Moths, vermin, thieves. Three things that make your money on earth worthless. So what did the people do? The people had money, but what they did was they didn't put it in banks. There were banks, but people did not trust the banks that much in ancient times. So what they did was they either kept it in a corner of their house or they would bury it in the ground, right? So you put your money somewhere, maybe in a bag, moths can come in and eat it. You put it somewhere buried under your tiles in your home, vermin like rats, insects would come in and destroy it. It's vulnerable to that. You don't do that? Okay, you put it in a nice hiding spot. When you're gone, the thieves come in. Jesus is saying, look, you could have it in Bitcoin. You could have it in stocks. You could just have it in the bank account. That doesn't make you vulnerable to whatever is going on in this world. Anything is possible. You know this. He's not telling you anything new. He's just telling you what you already understand, but you don't do anything about it. So instead of putting your trust in whatever this world has to offer, put your trust in something this world can't give. And so he says, put your treasure in heaven. I love the song. There's actually a song called Treasure. And it's a song by Bruno Mars. If you don't know who Bruno Mars is, don't worry. He's not important. But every time I read this passage, I'm reminded of that song. It goes, treasure, that is what you are. Baby, you're my morning star. Oh, honey, you can make my dreams come true if you let me treasure you, you, you. Right? Beautiful song. I love it. It's catchy, pop. And when I listen to that, I listen to Jesus talking to me. It's not me. It's not a love song from a boy to a girl. That's Bruno Mars and that's some other girl. Who cares about them? But God gave me that song to tell me how much he treasures me. He says, Chris, treasure, that is what you are. You're my morning star. Morning star is Venus, the most beautiful star in the sky. Okay. And I can make all your dreams come true if you let me treasure you. You see, how do you make heaven your treasure? You have to understand that heaven treasures you. How do I know this? Well, Jesus, who had all the angels, all the glory, all the splendor of heaven, he took it all off. He laid it all aside. It says in Philippians chapter 2, what did he do? He came down. He put on the robes of a servant, right? He was obedient to God. Obedient to death, even death on a cross, right? Why? Because he treasures me. You are precious in my sight, Isaiah the prophet says. I will give men in exchange for you. See, you will never have heaven as your treasure until you look at the beauty of heaven treasuring you. That's why I love singing. I love the songs that Maria chose. I love the gospel in everything that we sing because it's the beauty of the gospel in just a few melodies. And it reminds me of God's love for me. And when you are filled with God's love, you can do nothing but return that love to him. That's all you can do. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Don't put it in Bitcoin. Don't put it in some nice stock. Look, I'm not against wealth, okay? Listen to me clearly right now. Make as much money as you can, okay? Save it as much as you can, but let money be your servant and not your master. Not your master. That's the message of Christ to all of us, his disciples. Speaking of masters, verse 24, you can't have two masters. You'll hate the one, love the other. Now, he's not talking about bosses. Some of us here, we know what it is to have two jobs, to have two bosses, two employers. And it's not like, oh, I love this boss and I hate, it's not like that. Okay, you can have two sources of incomes. A boss is a boss. A master is completely different, right? Because with a boss, you have a choice. Okay, you can stay there or you can go to another place. With a master, he owns you. You have no choice but to obey. And thank God, we are creatures of obedience. That's how God made us. We will obey something. And if it's not something that loves us, we will obey something that hates us. That's the reality of this world. And most of us here, all of us here, we were in obedience to the one who hated us. We were walking in the way of darkness. We were under the power of evil. But God, by His grace, by His great love for us, showed us the new way. Amen? He brought us to the wide and open space. How? When we said, no more of this. Give me all of this. You are my master. Right? I give it all to you. The problem is, we go back sometimes. We do. That's the truth. We want to give all of ourselves, and then Monday hits, and we come right back. Like a dog returning to his vomit. Yeah. And Jesus says, there's going to be moments in your life. Maybe some of you are there now. Right? Where he says, I give you gate A and gate B. You know what gate A has. You know who's behind that door. Now I'm giving you gate B. And I'm giving you, now you don't know if it's going to go good at first or bad at first. It may go very bad at first. But if it's love, God, we all know, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So yeah, you can choose gate A, master A, and it may go bad. And it may go good, but you know where that road ends. Wide is the gate, and wide is the road that leads to destruction. But narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Jesus says, I'm giving you the choice here to follow a master. Money, real quick. So money. If you're not familiar with the Greek in this Bible, the word is mammon, right? Mammon. And mammon can be translated, it's not talking about yen or dollars. Mammon can be translated as wealth, wealth. So mammon is not just the money, but everything that comes with the money, right? The comforts, the pleasures, the positions, the status, the likes, okay? That's all of that. And remember, Jesus is saying, don't be blind to the pull and the draw of mammon. It's very subtle. It's like a whisper. And it's just going to try to pull you in. He says, I'm here to shout. Don't go there. Wisdom stands at the gates of the city. Wisdom stands at the highest places. He says, don't go there. Come here. Right? And so he's saying, if there's any temptation inside of you to make that money so that you can get that place, to have that position, or to be that guy, don't go there. Jesus is saying, you can't serve two masters. Now, like I said, this is so beautiful. This is the gospel. And until you know how much heaven treasures you, you will not make heaven your treasure. But not only that, until you understand that the master became a slave for you, you will never become free of your slavery to the evil master. What do I mean? Philippians chapter 2. I said it in the beginning. God, who is creator of all, master of everything, what did it say? It says he took off his robes, he emptied himself, and he put on the robes of a servant. He dressed like a servant, right? And was obedient, even to obedience to death, death on a cross. Yeah. Jesus became a servant for you. He served the Father, and he went to his death. So Lord Jesus Christ, help me to serve you, to follow you, to honor you. Help me, Lord Jesus, to be your servant and yours alone. That's the prayer. That's what you pray when you come to. And here's what's going to happen when you pray that prayer. He's going to come in and he's going to say, you don't need that anymore. You wanted to get this for your Christmas present? You don't need that anymore. You can give away some of this stuff here. My wife and I celebrate 16 or 17 years of marriage. In that time, I've had the privilege of speaking to newlyweds, new couples, before their marriage. And whenever I talk to a young couple getting married, always it's the issues of money, right? Number one cause of divorce is money, fighting over the money. So we talk about that. And here's what typically happens. We'll say, one of the two people is usually the spender. He's good at spending the money. Don't raise your hand if that's you, okay? All right? The other one in the couple is usually good at saving the money, managing the money, right? The one who's the spender doesn't like the one who saves because he or she is just, you know, always checking receipts. You know, always looking at the credit card invoice. Always. Why do you? You know, we just can't we just spend, right? And then the one who's saving always is mad at the spender. Why can't you just tell me what you're doing with the money, right? I'd have to give you and there's a fight over that, right? So one is always good at spending. The other one is good at saving. Okay. That's how typically it works. Now, if both of you are good at spending, God help you, okay? God, you need somebody. You need a third party to help you. So whether it's you're good at saving, be good at giving. But if you're good at spending, here's what the challenge is. Are you good at sacrifice? Okay? Whether it's saving or spending, put that aside and learn a new skill. Learn how to sacrifice. And sacrifice means this. Okay? If I don't spend on this, how will my life be different? Not only that, the money I would use for this, I would give for them. The money I'm saving for this, I'm going to give to him. And it will hurt me. I will go without something, without a pleasure, without a comfort, even without a necessity, so that he, she, or them can have what they need. So, I'm going to take you back 20 years before I was pastor here. I was a member. I was worship leading. A good friend of mine, he was here as a teacher. Not rich. He had just a normal teacher's job. And he would just save his money because he made good money as a teacher. And he had a nice little amount that he had saved up. One day, a new man came to church, and he had had an up and down life. His father was a minister. He grew up in a Christian home, but he was in rebellion and he was going out into the world. And for some reason, he heard there was an English service, and he came here. I remember he sat in the back there like this, just listening to us worship. We all became friends. The one who was coming back to church, he had a job, and at the job, he was handling cars. One day, he crashes a car of a rich owner, and then he has to pay for the damages. He had no money. No money to pay. And he's telling us, I don't know what to do. I think God is mad at me for some reason, because now I have to pay this. I have no money. I'm in trouble. My friend, who had been saving up all this money, he says, Chris, you know what? I think he needs it. I think God has been giving me this money because he knew this fool would ruin his life. And he sacrificed that money for this friend, okay? That friend who received that money, he gave himself completely to God. God was his new master. He is now a pastor in Hyogo-ken, I think. Is it Hyogo? Maybe Hyogo, yeah. One man sacrificed his treasure. And because of that, another man was saved and now is working to save the souls of others. Right? You can't serve two masters. Serve the one who loves you. Serve the one who serves you. Serve the one who treasures you. That's the gospel. That will change your life. That will make you new. That will transform you, your relationships, everything around you. You can walk around with old clothes, a small phone, right? Riding trains, but you'll be the happiest, most joyful person in this city. That's the good news. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, let's pray. So Heavenly Father, teach us, O God, to treasure you. Open our eyes to our blindness. Open our eyes to our sickness. Open our eyes to our servitude. And help us to be released, to have freedom from the power of mammon over our lives. Be our master, be our Lord, because you are also our Savior. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.